Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 8th of September, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, along with C.J. Miller and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin today with the latest Indiana farm news and weather, and a look at Friday's markets, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. In the news, an appeal for egg producers in Indiana to consider a position on the American Egg Board. Ryan's Indiana farm forecast dry for a full 2 weeks, along with warming temperatures, and the grain and oilseed markets back and forth in quiet Friday trade before finishing lower. Analyst Brian Basting with commentary on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Seeking nominations for the American Egg Board. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, if you're an Indiana egg producer or a representative of an Indiana egg producer, then you may want to consider serving on the American Egg Board. It's the U.S. egg industry's national commodity marketing organization. Their mission is to support America's egg farmers and increase demand for eggs and egg products.
Egg farmers out there, get involved. You'll love it. It's a fun organization to be a part of.
That's Mindy Creighton Truex, president of Creighton Brothers in Kosciuszko County. Mindy is also a member of the American Egg Board, as they seek nominations from Indiana egg producers to also join the board.
This is definitely one of my more rewarding opportunities to get to help sell more eggs. That's what checkoffs are all about. I'm one that's into promotion. I'm into marketing and all that kind of stuff. And I always felt like I got my juices recharged from the everyday stuff when I'd go to an American Egg Board meeting.
As a member of the American Egg Board, you'll be involved with decisions to help provide education to the public about egg production and the nutritional benefits that eggs provide.
Education is a big part of what the American Egg Board, along with promotion, research, starts with how an egg comes about. What is an egg? How does it get here? All the way through the great things that eggs do for people nutritionally. The American Egg Board then goes out and tries to get that word out. And that may even include educating the National Heart Association, who they've recently started working with, as they found out that the cholesterol in eggs is actually good cholesterol. And they've touched grade schools. They have materials for teachers and use in their classrooms, which is a really great way to teach the kids about something that they just don't think about when they eat a good egg for breakfast, maybe your lunch or dinner, just where it came from and how it came to be and why it's so good for them.
To be a nominee for the American Egg Board, you must be an egg producer or a representative of egg producers. You also have to be paying assessments to the checkoff in order to be nominated.
First of all, it's a phenomenal organization. They do so many great things in the areas of research and promotion. And if you're interested, you produce eggs, you work for a company that produces eggs, and you're interested in selling more eggs. If you fit the requirements to serve on the American Egg Board, by all means, get your application in their hands, and it's not a painful process at all.
If you would like to serve, reach out to Becky Yonaskan with the Indiana State Poultry Association. You can find her contact info and email, as well as more information about the American Egg Board at HoosierAgToday.com.
Stop overspending on fertilizer. Biocast Max by BW Fusion helps growers cut up to a total 65 pounds of collective nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium per acre without sacrificing yield. Biocast Max is engineered to release nutrients that already exist in your soil, saving you up to $24 per acre. With Biocast Max, you put less in and get more out. This is how we farm now. Learn more at www.bw-fusion.com/biocastmax.
And a new trade deal with Japan has been signed by President Trump. That deal could boost U.S. ag sales by $8 billion a year. Japan's purchases would include U.S. corn, soybeans, fertilizer, and bioethanol. The White House says that agreement with Japan also includes $550 billion of investments in the U.S. Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. I can make this real easy. We can give you the Indiana Farm Forecast in about a half a dozen words here, and that is basically dry through the next 2 weeks. Yeah, that's exactly what the forecast is. We're looking at warmer temperatures coming in, taking control after a chilly start here this morning. We are going to be seeing temperatures get back to well above normal temperatures levels. And I think as we get into the second half of this week, mid-80s are easily here. Some folks have been using the term heat wave. Look, it's still summer. Astronomical summer goes all the way into the middle part of this month, the 21st. So I don't look for this being too far out of the ordinary. Yes, it's warmer than normal a little bit, but we've seen this before. The bigger story here, going along with the warmer temperatures, a big lack of precipitation. Generally speaking, nothing coming through the rest of this week. We do have some activity trying to pop up to our west and northwest, particularly in the upper Midwest. That is what I'm keeping an eye on, because as we go through the overnight Saturday night into Sunday, so the 13th into the 14th, we are going to be seeing this system try and hold together, come southeastward out of Wisconsin and Michigan, and maybe trying to drag across the eastern Corn Belt. If it holds together, there is the potential for a 10th to 3/4 of an inch of moisture there. But we've seen this story before over the past couple of weeks. There's moisture up that way, and by the time it gets here, there's just not much left. So I'm tentatively saying let's watch for some moisture Saturday night into Sunday. Not much after that, though. You get into Monday afternoon, partly to mostly sunny skies, and we keep that dry air in all the way through next week. High pressure sets up over the upper Midwest and Great Lakes region. Now, with that location, it might be a little bit cooler the middle and second part of next week than what we're seeing the end of this week. But the precipitation story is the same, relatively dry. You get into the weekend of the 21st and 22nd. Once again, scattered moisture popping up over Iowa, northern Missouri, Illinois. Seems to run out of gas as it gets here. And then we're looking at a better front trying to organize probably closer to the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, running all the way from Minnesota back down into the northeastern Colorado region. That's the one I think has enough moisture that it may be able to hold together and sweep through, giving us all a good chance of rain. So if you're looking towards something that week of the 22nd, maybe we've got some better moisture potential. Otherwise, it really comes down to what holds together overnight this coming Saturday into early Sunday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Markets higher just a little much of the session, but a lower close. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. I checked in for that in the middle of the session with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. To end the holiday shortened week, Brian, we have worked higher in all the markets, corn, beans, and wheat. Let's start with the corn market, a couple of cent gain there. And should we be impressed with that after some losses earlier in the week?
Thanks for having me, Andy. It has been at least a decent rally here. I'm not sure extremely impressive, but we're looking at the highest price for December corn futures made on Friday. You have to go all the way back to July 21st, so a little more than 6 weeks ago. So again, it's far below levels obviously producers would like to see as harvest gets underway here, but it's still much better than it was just a few weeks ago after that August crop report. So a combination of factors, Andy, have lit a little bit of a fire underneath the corn market. We continue to hear private surveys that are saying that the crop estimate from the USDA that will be released on September 12th might be a bit lower than what we saw there in August. USDA, of course, will have a bit more data to work with in this report. So that's one thing. And the other thing is we continue to see very strong export sales of corn. We've entered a new crop year here. Of course, that started September 1st. It looks right now, Andy, like we're going to see a very strong September, October, November export program for corn, stronger than we thought as recently as a month or two ago. So those two factors are combined. Very little farmer selling as harvest gets underway here. So those factors have all kind of have been thrown into a pot, if you will, and have given us some short covering here from the funds. It'll be interesting to see as you get closer to that report, if we see any export sales business service as far as getting coverage before that report. Again, Friday the 12th, noon Eastern time. But regardless, the corn is a nice rebound here.
Soybeans back and forth, not only on Friday, but some other sessions during the week as well. It seems like that market overall is somewhat stuck.
Back and forth, again, a good phrase to use there. It is stuck because we're waiting in anticipation of two things. Primarily at this point, is there going to be a trade deal made with China? China is by far the largest importer of U.S. soybeans in the world for the just finished crop year, for example. China imported about 825, 830 million bushels of U.S. corn. That is a tremendous volume of corn. The year before, it was just under 900. So what you're looking at there, Andy, is a big swing factor in the balance sheet. If China were to come back in here and strike a deal with the U.S. Trade-wise, but they have zero officially on the books. Now, some of the unknown category may be China, but regardless, China has zero officially on the books for new crop corn, new crop beans. The other factor, of course, is the yield. We've had a very dry finish to the growing season here. Some are believing that the USDA may nudge down the bean yield a little bit from that number that came out in August. But until you get more certainty from one or both of those, it has been kind of stuck, as you said, back and forth. No real clear trend developing.
And the wheat market has had another rough week with some short covering to end the week, finally coming off those lows, it appears.
Trying to, searching for demand. We're just, wheat is still looking at some strong competition worldwide, looking at the European crop, finished up harvest here, a good crop this year, and key countries such as France and Germany. Export competition is going to be strong for soft red winter this year. And we're not going to feed much soft red winter because corn has been cheap. So I think the stimulus for wheat eventually here, Andy, may be the fact that I don't think that there's a big carrot out there, if you will, for producers to plant more this fall. So I think the acreage, if anything, could be maybe steadied a little bit lower. And maybe that's not only seen here in the U.S., but also in Europe and places like Russia and Ukraine, as those folks don't have that economic incentive at these price levels to really plant more. So there'll be some surprises down the road. I don't want to bury the wheat market. It can be very volatile. But for the time being, it's still searching for demand. And as you said, wrapping up the week, more or less just looking at some short covering here.
Any marketing suggestions for producers to keep in mind here in the short term?
Flexibility, Andy. Really encourage your listeners to look at these 2025 bushels that are getting ready to harvest here for corn and beans. Say to yourself, if you do need cash flow, for example, look at a call option purchase, because we've just started our harvest and we haven't even planted the South American crop. A lot of variables that can change over the next 30 days, 60 days, 6 months. So flexibility, if you do need to sell for cash flow, for example, I think a strategy to consider would be to purchase a call option to allow you to participate if the market rebounds here this fall or at some point when it will rebound. We just don't know when. But flexibility, if you're going to store the crop, we'd recommend that you look strongly, Andy, at a put option purchase to give yourself a floor. Because if China, for example, doesn't come in here and get a trade deal struck with the U.S. and these yield surprises to the upside with these advances in genetics we've seen, my point is that we could see some more downside in these markets. So flexibility, give yourself a floor in the market, give yourself an opportunity to participate in the upside, but also protect yourself on the downside.
From Advanced Trading, that is economist Brian Basting. Brian's number 309-664-2314. Now, the Friday settlements, everything did end lower, although in the grains, right around even. December corn, 418, down a penny and three quarters. March down an even penny at 436 and a half. May down a quarter, 447 and a quarter. Beans, November and January, 6 cents lower. Novi 1027. Jan finishes at 1045 and a half. And December wheat, 519 and a quarter, a loss of just a quarter cent. The meat markets were mixed. October live cattle, 235.97, down 97 cents. October lean hogs, 96.02, up an even dollar. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.